Welcome into the In the Money podcast for Saturday, April 27th, opening night of Derby Week at Churchill Downs. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. Every Saturday throughout the year, we take a look at One Track's late pick four, and Churchill includes a stake in this pick four, Jim. It's the third leg, race nine, the Roxalana. Fillies and mares four and up. Sprinters going six furlongs. I thought this was really tough. Where did you land?
I thought it was really tough as well. I think I went five deep in the pick four. I kind of landed on Zeitlos for Rosario and Steve Asmussen. He hasn't run that well the last time out at Oaklawn, but before that, she won a listed stakes at Oaklawn, and before that, she won an allowance race at Oaklawn. So she's 1-for-3 at Churchill with a second. She actually had a second in her maiden attempt at Churchill and came back and won an allowance race in November of 23 before she had a couple months off and then shipped to Oaklawn. So she had a 3-race winning streak. I think you can draw a line through that last one. Went off at 6-5 and just didn't fire. But back to a track that she likes, gets Rosario. Asmussen usually does well at Churchill. So I'm going to take Zeitlos on top. Also used Happy MI for Dallas Stewart, coming off an impressive win at Fairgrounds. And she's on a 3-race win streak of her own. And nobody's come close to her the last three times, including one at Churchill. Off the turf at 5.5 furlongs. So Happy Am I for Johnny Velasquez on the inside. Speeding Traveler for Phil Bauer. Horse has never been behind at any call. Has 3 races, and she's been first at the first call and first at the wire. So she's 3-for-3. Socially Selective for Bill Mott. Lots of speed, as she's won 2 in a row at Gulfstream. This is one of those races where you've got horses coming from all over, just like Keeneland's meet, and how do you compare them? How do you say, well, that race at Oaklawn was better than the one at Gulfstream, but one better than one at Fairgrounds? And then current climate on the outside for Eric Foster and Tyler Gaffione comes from Turfway Park, and she's won 2 of her last 3. She didn't win the listed stakes last time out, but she had a couple of optional claimers before that in January and December. So you got a lot of horses coming into this race on winning streaks. I could go even deeper than this. Backyard Money for Wayne Lucas and Martin Garcia has a shot. Giroux on Brad Cox's filly. I didn't use her because she's been off since October, and she disappointed her last two, but she's, placed in a grade 3 as a victory ride at Belmont last July. Lots of ways you can go in this race, I think. If you're single here, you're a very strong handicapper.
Yes, you are. I went one more than you, 6 deep, violating the Jim Goodman rule of taking more than half and not using all. I took Positano Sunset on top, trying to find a little bit of a price in here. I thought there was maybe a good bit of speed. This horse could get a nice setup. I like the maiden win at Churchill in 22, and then as a 3-year-old, they immediately started her in a couple of grade 3 stakes. So they clearly had a high opinion of this horse. The stakes efforts didn't work, so they dropped her down to an allowance, ran really well at Keeneland, then won a stake at Ellis. Been off since then, so I don't know what happened, but something must have. But Wilkes has good numbers off the layoff. Horses run well over the track. And I just think this horse has maybe a little more upside left to tap into. So I'm going to try to catch it at a little bit of a price. Dazzling Blue for Cox. I know they've been really high on this one from the start, so she could be any kind. Zeitlos got on my ticket as well for the reasons you mentioned. I used Backyard Money for Lucas off that 84 buyer last time out at Oaklawn. Socially Selective for Mott. You got 4 buyers of 82 or better. And then Speedy Traveler I'm going to use because it's Phil Bauer, and this horse is 3-for-3, so who knows how good she could be. So 6 of them for me. Late pick 4 starts in the 8th race with a first level allowance on the turf at 1 mile and 1/16. Fillies and mares 3 and up. I took Tatuba on top on the Wednesday card at Keeneland. A horse came out of that April 7th race that finished off the board and won and had a nice victory for Brian Lynch. So I think that might turn out to be a really good race that Tatuba comes out of. 77 buyer was her best. Finished in the money, 6 out of 11. Olagata for Chad Brown. Got to use that one, but a little leery of the 4 seconds versus just 1 win. La Pachanga, if you want to go deeper, Shug McGahee. Long layoff here, but the horse ran well pretty much in every start last year. Finally, I'm getting used to dreaming of Mo. It's Romans. He sometimes heats up when they move to Churchill. Third start off a layoff, and the horse is bred to like the grass. Didn't run well on it in his only her only try, but that's one to consider as well. How about you in race 7?
I went with the first three that you mentioned, Tituba, La Pachanga, and Hologata, the 2, 3, and 4. I think Hologata on top with Chad Brown. This filly came out of the 11 hole at Gulfstream last time out at a mile, which is no bargain, and almost won. Got beat by a neck. So the three seconds in a row, literally, she's less than half a length away from a three-race win streak. So I'm going to take those as a positive. She's got to have a good setup up front. But there is some speed with Tituba and La Pachanga. So I'm going to take the two speed horses and the closer, hoping to get through this leg. I didn't use any of the outside horses. Haystack coming out of a Turfway race is interesting to me, as is Killshade Beauty, a first-time starter at Keeneland, won first time out at 17-1. But hasn't been out since October for Andrew McKeever. So, and Johnny Velasquez takes them out. But I'm going to go with those three, Tituba, La Pachanga, and Hologata, hoping Hologata can close down the stretch and pick up those two speed horses.
Race 8, fillies and mares, 3 and up, maidens, 1.25 miles on the main track. How'd you see this one?
I got to narrow down somewhere, and this was a race where all these horses have question marks, except basically the one, Just Basking, the one horse for Ian Wilkes and Joe Talamo, made her debut at Turfway in March and got beat 4.5, 4.25. Decent effort, beat in a 12-horse field. Best Kiss Yet was very good that day. And follow that up on the dirt at Keeneland, stretching out to a mile and 16th, at 38-1. And ran second that day. So Talamo takes him out back for Wilkes. The horse has gone from a 59 to a 72, 6.5 to a mile and 16th. Looks like an Arrogate horse ought to have that 1.25 miles in him. And I'm going to take Just Basking in here. I'm not going to single, but I thought all the other horses had question marks of either distance or quality of races or whatever. I wanted to use Mystical Chant for Ben Colebrook, but I didn't use that one just because it seems like that 66-64 might not be good enough to win this race. And I used Ava's Look on the outside for Alvarado and Riley Mott, coming off a good effort at Oaklawn where he ran a 68 first-time Lasix, comes back with carrying 118, and she should like the stretch out. She was closing at the end, and Alvarado's a good rider, and I'm going to use Ava's Look as a second. I almost singled Just Basking because I really like those two races that she put out at Turfway and Keeneland. Going to use Ava's Look. Might regret not using Mystical Chant for Colebrook and Ortiz because that would be my third choice, but just going to stick with two in here.
Yeah, I like Just Basking for all the reasons you mentioned. Can't really add much to that. I took Mystical Chant second off that fourth in the Just Basking race. Heart-headed woman, I'm going to throw on the ticket. Ignore the synthetic races, and a couple of the dirt efforts are in the 70s and would look competitive here, and it's Tommy Drury. And really respect the job he does. And then Ava's Look, second in the second out at Oaklawn. And then you get Riley Mott, and he uses his dad's go-to guy, Alvarado, there. So I'm going to use all four of those on my pick four ticket. We talked about the Roxalana. Let's go to race 10, a 50K maiden claimer for fillies and mares, 3 and up at 6 furlongs. I took Star Court on top for Cherie DeVoe. Like the work that she does, and this horse is dropping out of Straight Maiden Company. Computadora for Al Stahl, another one dropping from Straight Maidens down at the fairgrounds. And the Stahl barn didn't have a lot of starters, didn't really fire at Keeneland. I'm guessing they're loaded up for the Churchill meet to do well there. So I'm actually going to only use those two because of ticket construction in that last race. But if you wanted to go deeper, I thought Foley and Rosario on the one Green Fairy. In fact, I may throw that one on the ticket as well. And then the other Foley is a first-timer with Gaffleyone riding, and I'm a little leery to use one horse of his and not the other, because he usually is geared up for that Churchill meet too. But for ticket construction reasons, I'll leave one of them out, the first-time starter. But I'm taking Starcourt on top, just a shaky opinion there. How about you?
I like shaky opinion. This race is a puzzle to me because you've got three horses that were eased in their last races. And the horses had decent form before that. I'm not using them, but it scares me that, for example, Corey Felice, the two horse, ran well at Keeneland in April and then comes back in Churchill in May and just stops, just quit. So been off since May, so she's got some issues, but they're, you know, this is a tough maiden claimer. And one of the things that I do in tough maiden claimers is I will always use first-time starter, and there's only one in here, and that's Dark Fury for Greg Foley. She hasn't lost yet. 50,000 is not really a cheap maiden claimer, so they think a lot of her. They thought this was a good spot, hoping not to lose her, I would think, for 50 grand. So I'm going to use Dark Fury on top. Going to use some of the other horses that you mentioned. Greg Foley's other horse, Green Fairy, that's been out once at Churchill, but it was May last year. Starcourt for Cherie DeVoe, just because Cherie's been so hot at Keeneland. Tammy's Cruiser for Giroux, coming off a maiden special weight at Keeneland, where she ran, got beat 8 3/4, but this is a drop from maiden special to 50,000. Galladini for Chris Hartman. Chris Hartman always does well at Churchill and gets his main rider, Mitchell Merle, on here coming off a fairgrounds race where she claimed her, and he's 29% first off the claim. So I'm going to go five deep in here, hoping to this is a puzzle to me. I really didn't feel good about this race, but so Dark Fury might be a good shot in here with first-time starter.
I ended up with a $72 ticket, 2-4 with 1-4-5-10, with 3-4-5-6-7-9, with 1-3-8, $72. And Dark Fury was the last one I tossed out, so I didn't want the ticket to get higher than that 72 level. But if you can pare it down somewhere else, certainly consider adding Dark Fury in that last leg. How did you build your ticket?
Well, I had $75, 2-3-4, with 1-10, with 1-3-5-9-10, with 3-4-5-6-9. So I think that Roxalana Stakes race is one of the best races I've seen put together. Ben Huffman has a lot of deserves a lot of accolade for that one, because that's as evenly matched a race as I've seen for listed stakes.
Yeah, no, that's going to be really fun to see how that one gets played on the board, and that probably will have some effect if somebody gets a little overlooked as to how actually might play the race by itself. Best of luck on the opening night card at Churchill or wherever you are playing. Got to build those bankrolls for Oaks and Derby weekend. We'll be back next week for Friday and Saturday editions of the In the Money podcast for the Oaks card and the Derby card. Good luck from KeenelandSelect.com.